I want you to remember something, right? And I want something to be put into your head, and I want you to remember it. So I want to come up with something creative to stir up some memory. You ready? So there's one thing that has been going through my mind that's helping me think about this and helping, maybe helping you remember it. Maybe it won't mean a thing to you, but I'm hoping it will. All right? Buscando. You ready? I'd like you to say that word back with me so you can get it in your brain so you can stick with you. So maybe it'll be something that we'll leave here with. All right? The word is, I'll say it once and then you guys can say it with me. All right? It's buscando. You ready? Here we go. Ready? Buscando. You're like, what's he talking about? Yeah, I can spell that. Ready? T-H-A-T. You've been out of junior high for a while. I'm always so proud of myself. I pat myself on the back when I get a junior high with that one. All right. B. B. U. B. U. S. C. A. N. D. O. Buscando. You're probably like, what's buscando? What are you talking about? And the whole idea, we've been talking about Isaiah chapter 55. And I am excited about this passage of Scripture. I've been coming back to it and coming back to it. I've read it so many times that it's become real personal to me. And as we've been looking at this, we've looked at how God wants us to purchase things that will last for eternity. Not things that are temporary, but things that will last for eternity. He wants us to listen, to hear, to pay careful attention to what he is saying. And then I talked about how we need to listen to the words of God. He's listening to us. We need to taste and see that the Lord is good. We need to look and live. And then we talked about how there was a message for the coming King of Kings. And that kind of switches this whole Isaiah chapter 55. And it has us focusing on the coming kingdom. And a week ago on Sunday morning, I talked about this passage that says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And we went and we looked at a bunch of verses about, we looked at the message for the king, and we looked about seeking the Lord while he is near. We said, now is the time, seek the Lord and lack no good thing. And we were looking around the Bible at some verses about seeking the Lord. And that word, buscando, is the main word up there. It's seek, to search out. I am searching for. So that's the Spanish word for that. And I just kind of wanted to put that into our minds, is seeking. And this week, as we continue looking on, we're going to continue in verse 7 on, but it says there to repent. So under seeking the Lord, my main focus today is let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. Last week I talked about how that verse 7, was talking about a change of heart. The word there is repent. And how do we seek the Lord? How do we search him out? So often I see in the Bible this idea of searching for the Lord and seeking for the Lord has to do with following after and looking for righteousness, doing what's right. And we live in a world where wrong is promoted, it is praised, and is glorified. And it's time that we as believers in Jesus Christ, we seek the Lord, and part of doing that is having a desire and the audacity in today's world to try and do what's right. It's so sad that we ought to say that. Because it seems like when you're someone who wants to stand up and try to do what's right, you're going to be told you're wrong. And we live in a world where right is wrong and wrong is right. They're doing, as it says in the book of Judges, what is right in their own eyes. And so this isn't something you have to do, but it's something that I have done. And I would challenge you, maybe if you read through the Bible in a year, to whenever you come up with the word righteousness and living righteous, make a little chain through the Bible about the word righteousness. And as you study the Word of God, as you find God to be the bread of life, as it says in Matthew chapter 5, hunger and thirst for that word, as you righteousness, and see if you can find some things out. And I just kind of like you to look at just a couple of verses about righteousness. And I think, because I've gotten places in my Bible, because I have it, I call it the chain of righteousness through the Bible. So as I'm reading through, I'd come to that word and I'd underline righteousness or right living or something like that. And I'd write down that verse. And the next time I thought about it, okay, I came to that word righteousness again. Where did I start out with? And so I went back to it. Maybe a good place to start is Matthew chapter 5, hunger and thirst for righteousness. And you go back and you add a verse, and then you go to the first, and before you know it, you begin to have a chain that maybe if someday you were having a chat with some young person, and you are saying to them, do right. Do right. There was someone, a wise old person, told me one time, he said, my aunt always pointed at me, and she said, you do right for the Lord. You do right for the Lord. And I thought, that's really kind of neat. And that person was saying, you know, that was so instrumental in my life. And I want to pass it on to you. You do right for the Lord. And now there's a bunch of people that whenever I see them, I say to them, you do right for the Lord. It's what the Bible wants you to do. And as you are seeking the Lord, a good way to go about seeking the Lord is to do right. So, Isaiah chapter 51. So if you're in Isaiah chapter 55, you don't have to go very far. In Isaiah chapter 51, and verse 1, it says, listen to me, you who follow after, what's that word there? Righteousness. And what's it say there? You who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. So there's that word, buscando. And that's kind of why I wanted to get that in our heads. Not, you know, maybe you learn a new word today. And maybe if you ever meet somebody that speaks Spanish, you can say buscando, and they might know what you mean. I don't know. But seek the Lord. Right there. If you want to seek the Lord, live a righteous life. Do what is right. That's what he wants you to do. And then I've got, in my chain of righteousness, going through the Bible and writing down these verses as I'm reading through, oh, there's another verse. And I've got big lists of that word righteousness. I just want to share a couple with you. And I would challenge you, as you read through the Bible, just look for that word, righteousness. And see how important it is to God that we live a righteous life. But the next verse that it says for me to go to is in Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10. And this wasn't a, because I had been faithfully doing this and having this, like, this chain of righteousness through the Bible, this wasn't like a hard thing for me to do. I didn't have to go to concordance or on the internet or something and Google these words or whatever. I just followed the chain that I already had in my Bible, and I found something really kind of interesting. It says in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Live righteously. And those two things seem to go hand in hand. That today, we ought to, as we're seeking the Lord, seeking after his kingdom, we ought to be seeking after righteousness. The key word that I've got up there when we're seeking the Lord is to repent. That's a change of heart. I have a verse here, Psalm 34, and I said a couple of weeks ago, and we're definitely not done with Psalm 34, but it says there, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. We need to trust the Lord implicitly. Follow after him. Depend on him for everything. Repent. Repent, repent. Have a change of mind. A change of heart. Turn the direction from what we are doing. I believe as I was focusing on that whole seek the Lord, and I looked at seek the Lord and lack no good thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now is the time to seek the Lord. As we were looking at that last week, I said the word repent that we find here in verse 7 means to stop, turn around, and go the other direction. I think too often when we think about the word repent, we have a very shallow meaning of it. We think the word repent has to do with being sorry for doing something bad. We could probably, a lot of people, if you talk to them, what does the word repent mean? They say, well, it's like kind of being sorry for doing something wrong. But the word repent here, and when it's talking about it in verse 7, it says, let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. The word repent is like you are heading towards the cliff, and destruction and doom and gloom are right ahead of you because of the sinful life which we were born into. We were born into a life of sin, and that's what the world gave to us. It was our gift, and where our parents who have gone before us have put into us, and we are responsible for the sin ourselves. But now, we're heading towards there, and God begs you. He's saying, turn around, stop right now, before destruction comes, turn around and make a change. Live right. Seek me with all of your heart. And I said, many times, there are so many words in the Bible that we need to take and we need to get them in our minds as a visual picture. This morning, Pastor Baker, as he was down here giving communion, don't you love it how he tried to place you at the Lord's Supper this morning? I was thinking about that as I was standing there. What he's trying to do is he's trying to get us to visualize it. To think, to not just have those words in our head as some rote liturgy, but to actually picture what was going on. And when I look at this passage, I say, let's just get beyond just the words and let's get the picture of what God wants us to do. He wants us to stop heading the way the world and sin and death and destruction would have us to go, to turn around and seek the Lord, to turn and live. Because he forgives and he has the ability to give us mercy and to abundantly pardon. It says there in verse 7, abundantly pardon. Aren't you so thankful that that's what the Lord has for you? If you will seek him out, follow him, have a life that you desire his righteousness, what he has in store to offer you is to abundantly pardon. Verse 8 and 9 say, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We've got to trust the Lord, and we've got to follow him, and we have to have a relationship with him. As you read the Bible, you begin to understand that God has always got a plan, and he's always up to something. And if you're going to do things his way, you have to have a close relationship with him. Think about when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea and the Jordan River. When they crossed the Red Sea, God stood up, Moses stood up before the people, and the people were wanting to go back to Egypt, and they were scared that they were going to die because the Egyptians. And what did God say? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And they were to hold their peace while God worked his amazing miracle. And the Red Sea parted, and those walls of water were up on either side. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning, and then the people passed through on dry ground. But when God was doing that miracle, the people were supposed to stand still and see what God was doing. The people came to the Jordan River, and it was time for the children of Israel to cross the Jordan River. And what were they supposed to do? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord? No. The priests were supposed to take that Ark of the Covenant. And when they stepped in the water, the Jordan River parted. So if you want God to part the waters in your life, and maybe you've got a big river or a big sea in front of you, and you don't know how you're going to cross it, and the way seems difficult and the road seems hard, what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to stand back and watch God do it? Or are you supposed to put your hiking boots on, put the Ark of the Covenant on your back, and step into the water and watch God move the waters? I don't have the answer for you. Because God does both things, right? Sometimes you're going to stand still and you're going to watch him move. Sometimes you're going to be seeking him out and searching and doing, and you're going to watch God do amazing things. But if you're going to see him move, if you're going to see him do things, you got to have a relationship with him. And you got to be praying. Because his plans and his ideas and what he's got in store for you is far above any three-step process of how you're going to see God work in your life. And the whole idea here is to bring us to the kingdom. What are God's thoughts? What are his plans? What is he looking for? In verse 10 and 11, it says, "For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Think about the people for ages and ages and ages, especially during the days of Isaiah, and what the children of Israel would have had going on all around them. The world would be dancing to false gods, praying to them, doing all sorts of things to try and pray down the rain that was so important to their society. I'm reading a book right now. It's called When Helping Hurts. And in the book he's saying, one time there was an instance in Europe where there were some poor farmers that would, every year, they would pray to their gods that he would bring in the crops. They would offer sacrifices and they would do all of this stuff. And so in came some missionaries. They said, "We want to help these people. Look at them. They're starving to death. Their farms aren't doing so well." And so they said, "We have this seed and these plans and this stuff that we can give to them, that if we give it to them, their farms will produce and they'll be able to get out of this poverty, and when we can see something amazing happen." And so they brought in all this stuff and gave it to them and told them how they could increase the yield of their harvest. So they did that. They went in and they did all this work, and there was so much at harvest time, and the fields were just blooming. And you want to know what these people did? The second they got all of this stuff, they took all of the harvest and everything that had come in, and they offered up in praise to their gods. And they still had as much as they always had. He said, "That's not really what our intentions were." And so they had to rethink their strategy and see what they could do to help these people out. But in this passage here, it says God's plan for us is that we start sowing his word and we start working on the kingdom. Our hearts are repentant. We've turned from a life of sin and we are living for the Lord. We are seeking him out, going through and living righteous lives as citizens of the kingdom. And we ought to be spreading the word of God. And if we are doing that, God's plan is to grow that kingdom, to see lives changed for eternity. And what does that look like in the end? In verses 12 and 13 it says, "For you shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." as we look at this passage, God bounces back and forth. He's talking about us and where we are today and what we ought to be doing. And then he goes back to the king. And then he talks about us and where we are today and what we should be doing. We should be seeking the king. We should be repentant in our hearts, and we should be living for him today, sowing the word of God. Now he's going back to the kingdom. Why are we doing, why are we living for the Lord today? Why are we laying up treasures on earth, on heaven, and not on this earth? Why are we seeking the Lord for all our heart? Why are we living for righteousness, and in a world in which living for righteousness is not popular? Because King Jesus has a plan. King Jesus wants to redeem this world. He created it. He put us here as caretakers of it. And he created us in his image. And he is going to take this world. I love the book of Revelation. One day, God is going to take this sphere, this globe, and he's going to shake it up, and I can't wait for that day. And he's going to, if you read the book of Revelation, it's almost like he takes it and he shakes it, and he just refashions it, and he says, this is what I had always intended. Now here's the next 1,000 years. The millennial kingdom with heaven after that. This is what I want it to be. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be that shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Charlie Kark, I talked to you a little bit ago about how he liked to cut down like every tree in the forest. Along with that, he liked to burn up every moldflower rose bush that there was. Right, Brad?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. That was like a chore. We always burning up moldflower, and I hated it. You know, Roland, those things just grab you 100 different ways, right? When you're trying to pull one out, and they sting. Oh, and that, as I read that verse, that's exactly what I think. I can't wait for the Lord to say the curse is gone and all those moldflower rose bushes
become thornless.
Thornless. Praise the Lord. I think anybody that doesn't understand that verse, I can go and I can show them what that verse means in a couple of hours. And we'll take them without gloves and in a short sleeve t-shirt, right? Yeah? I'm ruthless, right? So, but anyways, can't wait for that day. When God takes this world and he rules and reigns in righteousness. Have you read or heard something this last week that the sin of it all broke your heart? And you're just like, why? Do we live in a world where this is reality? And the world is getting so much smaller, and we hear about all the terrible things that happen each and every single day. But King Jesus is coming back to fix it all. So our job today, what we're supposed to do, as Pastor Baker said, saying just a minute ago, until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy, I'll carry on. Until then, when my eyes behold that city. Right? That so fits what this is talking about. Until then, we will seek the Lord and we'll seek his righteousness. And we're gonna live for the Lord. So the reason I had you think about that word right at the beginning, buscando, is I wanted you to take something home with you. If you didn't remember anything, it was just to relate that. Seek right the Lord and seek his righteousness. And maybe this week, that word will pop into your head. You're reading the Bible and you see righteousness. Wow, that's the word. I'm going to underline that. That's what I need to be seeking for in the Bible and see what happens. It's amazing. One of the things that never ceases to amaze me. I think that when I'm up here and I've got something to say, it only matters to me. That's honestly what I think a lot of time. I'm like, this is only awesome to me. Nobody else wants to hear that. But I'm amazed at how many times somebody will say, during the week, I was thinking about what you were saying, and God brought that to my mind. And so I wanted to just say, here's one word, Wuscando. And you're reading your Bible, and you find that word, righteousness, and you're like, that's what I'm supposed to be looking for, the righteousness in the Bible. I hope that that's something that you can do this week. Let's pray. Dearly Father, it says in the Word of God, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I think that verse sums up Isaiah chapter 55. And I pray that you'll help us to live that this week, to seek, to search out, and to look for righteousness in the Word of God. And when everything else is gone by the wayside, when the TV and the internets are destroyed, and those things that promote ungodliness and unrighteousness in this world have gone away, your word and the righteousness found in it will last forever. Help us to remember that and help us to live that. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.